Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, bringing you backstage and behind the scenes with the stars, creators, and industry leaders bringing Broadway back to life. I'm your host, Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to Janine Scott, the Broadway League's new director of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion. Although EDI initiatives had already been a part of the organization's activities, the League created the director position following the global reckoning over racial justice that came in the wake of the uprisings in 2020. Scott comes to the League after a 7-year tenure at Omaha Performing Arts, where she was the Vice President of Human Capital and Inclusion. She's also a co-founder of the Black Arts Leadership Alliance and a co-founder of the Nebraska Association of African American Human Resources Professionals. An Omaha native and a former dancer, she also founded and directed a nonprofit dance school to promote equity in the arts for Omaha youth. Now Scott is bringing all that experience and expertise with her to Broadway, and she's in the virtual studio with me to tell us about where Broadway stands today, the work it's doing now to change things, and the work that lies ahead. Hey, Janine, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and welcome to New York. I know you're just a couple months into your new life here. You're coming to your position not only as someone new to New York and new to the League, but someone who's sort of not embedded in the Broadway industry, which strikes me as a really useful perspective for someone in your position right now. Before we talk a little bit about your background and your work in Omaha, I wonder if we could just start by having you tell us about your impressions of Broadway right now in summer 2021. Where does the industry stand in terms of equity and inclusion?
Sure. Well, I must admit, I have a little bit of a Broadway just because I come from the road. I'm adjacent. How about that? We'll say Broadway.
Right.
Adjacent.
Yeah, because the organization you came from had a Broadway series.
Mm-hmm. And, yes.
Still does. Yes. Yeah. Right.
Yes,
yeah.
and we're a part of the Broadway League as well.
Right. Right.
But looking at where we stand right now as an industry, I'm optimistic. I am hopeful, and maybe some of that is me being naive, but I like to think that looking at what all the members have done and hiring EDI directors and the fact that we have 7 new shows that have been written by people of color. You have Camille A. Brown, who will be choreographing for Colored Girls. I like to think that we are moving in the right direction in creating a space for people who look like me.
Yeah. And what, broadly speaking, are the areas where we seem to fall down and really need to do more work?
You know, I don't know that there's any one area, honestly. I think that it's on the stage, it's behind the scenes, it's in the audience. I don't know that there's any one area that we have fallen short. I would say that there is room for improvement across all areas in this industry. And that's why I'm here, and that's what I'm looking to change.
Yeah. And before we start to talk about what's on your plate looking ahead, I wonder if we could rewind a little bit and just talk about your background. I know that you're a former dancer, and I wonder if you could just start out by telling us a little bit about kind of when you realized that the EDI work that has become your specialty was something that you really wanted to focus on.
You know, as I think my earliest memories as a dancer walking in and being the only coming from the middle of the country in Nebraska, we're pretty homogenous, I'll say. And I was always the only. And while the studio that I was at did its best to make me feel like a part of, I don't know that I always felt a part of. You know, there are microaggressions, there are people touching your hair. Why does your hair look like that? Tights that aren't my skin color that are called nude. I mean, I think I recognized early on that there was something that was not quite right. I didn't know exactly what that was at the time, but I knew that there was something that wasn't quite right because I used to come home and tell my mom or ask my mom, why am I the only Black kid? And it wasn't until I want to say I was a junior and I actually came here to New York. I'd won a talent contest, and that was my first time having a dance instructor of color. That was my first time seeing a Broadway play, a musical. And
what was it?
Five Guys Named Mo.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was my, I'm probably dating myself now, huh?
You and me both.
Yeah, if you remember it, then I am.
Exactly. We both. That's exactly right. Yep.
But yeah, and it was, I saw everyone on stage and I was like, oh my God, they look like me. And from that moment on, I knew that I wanted everyone to experience Broadway the way I had, and to experience the arts the way I had, and for them to know that there are people of color out there, and who are professionals doing the thing out there in a major way, and so that is really what sparked my love for the arts and equity. So it's kind of a full circle moment for me right now.
Yeah. And how did you get to Omaha Performing Arts, which is the organization you're coming to the Broadway League from?
Yes. Well, arts and equity have always been my passion. I started a school, a dance school in Omaha that focused on arts and equity and creating inclusivity. And I saw the position and I met with the president, and she asked me, you know, what are some things you'd like to see change? And I said, I'd like to see more diversity because in the community, what I hear is if you want to work at the Omaha Performing Arts, you have to either be a security guard or in housekeeping. And that's unacceptable. And she agreed with me. And the rest is history, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. And well, tell us a little bit about the organization and its programming and its, you know, audience and who they are and where they come from and what you were the group of people in the community you were working with at that moment.
Yeah. So I served as the first vice president of human capital and inclusion at Omaha Performing Arts. I conceived and spearheaded several programs, one internally to increase, promote, and retain Black, Indigenous people of color. And we did that within the first 3 to 4 years, we were exceeding national standards. In addition to that, then we look at the community. I, along with my counterpart, who's over programming, created a series called Voices Amplified, And it was created to amplify the voices of artists of color in our community. But specifically, at the time of inception, it was created to amplify Black voices. It was in response to as everyone put out a narrative at the wake of George Floyd was murdered. And we didn't want to just have it be mere words where we say Black stories and Black voices and Black lives matter. We wanted it to be action oriented. Right. And so we created that program.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the specifics of the program? You mentioned the program to attract and retain talent of color from BIPOC talent. How do you do that? What are the sort of specifics, granular specifics of that in terms of how that program works and what you feel like was really effective and helped it succeed?
Well, you have to go where the people are. You can't, I mean, what's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting something different? So we had to go where Black, Indigenous, people of color were. So it meant building a community grassroots base. It meant being embedded in the community and recruiting from within, developing actual relationships. And it not being about Omaha Performing Arts or even the Broadway League for that matter now, telling a community what they need and what we can give them. It's about listening to that community and having them tell us what they need and what we can give them. And so it's sort of flipping it and putting it on its side and having the community inform us instead of us informing the community. And that is what I think is the true measure of success that we had at Omaha Performing Arts. And that's what I'm looking to bring here to this new role.
Yeah. And what do you feel like, this might be part of your answer to this question. What do you feel like, coming from your experience with Omaha Performing Arts, what do you feel like were the biggest insights or kind of moments where you that have really influenced the way you think about the work you do going forward?
I think having the community involved in every aspect, from programming to looking at development, fundraising, and having them have a seat at the table, and I think again having them inform us instead of it being a one-way street where we're gonna tell you. And having them to tell us, I really think that was helpful in building out a successful programming base that is wildly diverse. I mean, I looked at the numbers before I left, and having 60% of our BIPOC staff being in a manager level or above, that's huge. Compared to when I first started, and I could literally count on one hand how many of us of color were in management. There were three.
Right. Yeah. And when you talk about going out into the community and listening to the community, what does that look like in terms of maybe events that you have, or what are the kind of bridge building or connecting activities and initiatives that you feel like were really can be really effective?
Well, I look at the initiatives that that the Broadway League has, and a lot of it mirrors the initiatives that we had at Omaha Performing Arts. We here at the Broadway League, we have Viva Broadway, which was created in 2009. You have Black to Broadway, which is a more recent initiative, which is designed to inspire a deeper engagement and awareness of access within the Black community. In addition to celebrating those Blacks who are already on Broadway, who are leaders, you know, on stage and behind the scenes. And so those programs look a lot like some of the programs that we had at Omaha Performing Arts in creating, one, an excitement and a groundswell. And both of those programs go outside of the league's membership to bring on other individuals and influencers within those communities so that we can develop a relationship with those communities and expand our base and expand our programming and really let those communities and others, AAPI, you know, let them know that Broadway really is for everyone.
Right. Yeah. And what have you found are the most useful metrics in terms of measuring change? You mentioned the 60% of your BIPOC staff were in management positions. What other kind of, measures are there that you pay attention to think that you look at to see, oh, the thing that we're doing is making a difference?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not about just checking a box and saying, okay, we have 60%. If that 60% doesn't have a voice, then it doesn't matter. You might as well have no one there. So it's looking at what real authority do these individuals have? Are they just merely at the table, or are they at the table with a real voice? And so looking at position descriptions, looking at where they're seated, how they're seated, looking at how long they've been there, and what they really bring and what they bring to the table, and looking around the table and seeing who's not there and why aren't they there and how do we create space for them to be there. And so I love metrics and I love stats, but I also know that merely reciting stats doesn't really tell a full story if those individuals don't have a seat at the table, if they don't have a voice, not just a seat, but if they don't have a voice at the table.
Yeah. What for you is your sort of favorite kind of achievement of your time there at Omaha? What do you feel like really affected you and really kind of was a mark of your work there?
Wow, that's hard. Oh my gosh. You're asking me to pick my favorite child.
I know, that's true. That's a good point, yeah.
I will say prior to the Voices Amplified series, I would have said the promotion from within, the leadership program that that I developed to promote staff of color. Obviously, others, you know, were able to participate, but it was targeted and geared towards and for those staff of color, because we had a huge amount of BIPOC staff who were in positions, I would say even below coordinator. And it was, how do we promote them from within? How do we give them the skill set and the tools that they need in order to be successful and to become a manager or a coordinator for that matter? But how do we get them to become a manager, and we move them from assistant to a management type of position where they have influence and they have a voice at the table? And so I would say the leadership program that I developed was one of my favorite, but now I'm going to say the Voices Amplified program, because we did it during a pandemic, and it was like, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do? And we made it all virtual, and we reached out to people and artists in the community, because it was at a period of time where artists weren't traveling. And so you want to talk about community engagement. We had people in our own backyard who had done some amazing things, and we created a platform for them to be showcased, and I love it, and it's still going on to date, and I serve now more as an advisor type of thing, but it's a really exciting program, and I look forward to seeing where it goes.
I'll have more with Janine right after the break.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today
at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And now, here's more with the Broadway League's Director of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion, Janine Scott.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more now about what's happening at the League. We should say, for listeners who don't know, who aren't in the weeds about this stuff, the Broadway League is a trade association of Broadway producers and presenters. And they are the body that, you know, advocates for Broadway overall as a business and negotiates contracts with labor unions, among many other things. Tell us a little bit more about sort of the, there are a number of programs. You mentioned Viva Broadway and Black to Broadway, but there's a number of things going on right now these days, some of which have been going on for a while, as you mentioned, and some of which are newer. Tell us a little bit about that slate of activities.
Yeah, one of the programs that I enjoy is the Broadway Bridges program, where the goal is to reach every 10th grader in a New York City public school so that they can see a Broadway show in person. And so we partner with the New York City Department of Education and the United Federation of Teachers to make a significant impact. I think it's like 70%, nearly 70% of those students are identified as being people of color. And if we want to talk about sparking an interest in Broadway, I think that's where we start. We have to catch them young so that we can create that path. Another program, which is the Broadway League Diversity Fellowship Program. And this program is designed to give the next generation of theater professionals hands-on experience in working in a league member's office, so that they understand that you don't necessarily have to be on stage. You can be behind the scenes, because not everybody is a performer and not everybody wants to be a performer. But there are still avenues and there are still ways for these individuals to have a hand in shaping Broadway. I think I look at myself, and when I was growing up, and I would say, oh, I want to be a dancer, or oh, I want to work in the arts, and to have a counselor say, no, you can't do that, or to have a family member say, no, you need to get a real job. Right now, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, you got one. Yeah.
But we have to, being a first generation college student or college graduate, we have to buck that, and we have to do a better job of educating not just lay people, but those counselors, that there are jobs in this industry and that we want them and we need them and we're looking for them. And I think that this fellowship program helps to create a pathway for that next generation of professionals. I think another program I would want to mention is something very new, and it's where we are partnering with all of Broadway unions and their members and our employees to find opportunities for those individuals to challenge the status quo and to be able to become a part of these unions and work behind the scenes.
Yeah. And do these programs, you mentioned, you know, for instance, the fellowship is for people working in a member of the Broadway League's office. Does this, for any member, like, does this extend around the country? Because there are members of the Broadway League all over the country. Are a lot of these programs not just New York focused, but also in the sort of road and touring activities?
Well, this one is more New York focused. However, there is the at PAM diversity program, which is for the road. And a lot of our presenting, our roadhouses like Omaha Performing Arts, have internship programs of their own that go alongside with Broadway, with the at PAM diversity, and some of them that are their own standalone programs.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier in our discussion, you talked about the many individual productions are creating these positions devoted to equity, diversity, and inclusion. Tell me a little bit about why you think that's important to have not only kind of an industry-wide position dedicated to that, but also in these individual, what they really are is little individual businesses, right? Mm-hmm. Each individual show. Tell us about sort of what you think these folks will do joining, for instance, Moulin Rouge, or someone that just did a hire. Yeah.
Yeah, Moulin Rouge just did, and Wicked, a couple of others just came out with press releases naming their EDI or their equity or diversity directors. Right. I think it's important for people to know that the industry isn't just talk. And I think that this shows a real commitment, intentional commitment to creating an overall change in the industry. No one person can do it by themselves. And so this creates a network of people working together, sharing ideas, sharing best practices, and creating a support system and a network, I guess, a support system, a network, so that I myself and those others who are like me know that we have someone who is in the trenches with us, willing and able and wanting to make a long-lasting change in this industry.
Right. Yeah. And what, looking ahead, how have you begun to think about new initiatives that you'd like to sort of help, move along as the season gets up and running, and you know, you sort of find your feet and you're in the position that you were in now? And
yeah. Well, I've been talking to league members and talking to the community and community organizations about how the league can be a better partner in moving the needle towards change and equity and inclusion. And I think in order to be successful in this role, it's going to be about relationships. And we're going to need to expand our existing programs, and we're going to have to create other programs to provide even greater access to all individuals. So I look at our affinity groups that we have, and there are some groups that may feel left out, but please know that we are in the works of creating those affinity groups and creating an avenue for those affinity groups to be showcased. So there's definitely a lot of work to be done. We have done a lot, but now that they've created this position that I'm in, we are able to be more intentionally focused on how we deliver, who we work with and how we work with, and moreover, how we communicate those programs to the community at large. I think that may have been one of the struggles we may have had in the past, is communicating those initiatives that we've had to the people that, you know, are created to benefit, that, you know, was created to benefit. If we create a program and it's to benefit you and you don't know, then, you know, how successful is that program going to be? So I think that is that's one of the things that I am definitely looking at, is building stronger relationships within the community and with these community organizations, niche community organizations.
Yeah. And What's your take on the way the kind of work, much of it is sort of focused on backstage, you know, behind the scenes stuff, kind of filters into the work that is done on stage as well? How does the work that you are doing and the, what is the interplay between the work that you were doing and the work that we see, the creative work that is done artistically on stages?
Well, I think statistically, people, it's said that people tend to hire individuals who look like them. There is this kinder fictionship that exists. It's an unconscious bias that exists, and which is why you see all this unconscious bias training that goes on in this industry. But if so, if the industry is majority white male, then majority of the jobs are going to go to who?
Right.
White males. Right. So if we can diversify the back of house, if we can diversify those individuals who are doing the hiring, the casting, then we will be able to diversify what we see on stage. We are lovers of the arts, and I like to think that we have a creative mind, and we know that there's no such thing as a mermaid. So what difference does it make if the mermaid is of color or if the mermaid is white? Things like that, those unconscious things that exist, I think this is a way of combating that. So I don't know that we're just solely focusing on the back of house or solely focusing on the career side of things, but I think that it is important that we focus on that, because the stats are real, and we all have hidden biases, and they come into play more than we sometimes would like to admit.
Yeah. You arrived in as we were talking about before we turned the mics on. You arrived in July, and there may have been one Broadway show happening, unless Bruce Springsteen had gone on hiatus again. So have you seen a Broadway show yet? Broadway is really, as we're talking, Broadway is really just starting to get going again.
They literally just really opened. I will be seeing Passover next week. I was going to go to Hadestown dress rehearsal yesterday. However,
it rained.
Flooded. It rained a lot.
A lot, indeed.
I think torrential rains is what they call it, right?
I think that's an accurate description. Yeah.
So, needless to say, I did not go to that showing. I have attended Broadway shows prior to my position here at the league, but I have not seen one yet in this new capacity. But I look forward to seeing everything. Honestly, yeah.
And we look forward to running into you at the theater sometime as we're all back in the house. So thanks so much, Janine. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I am excited and again, hopelessly optimistic about the future of Broadway and its return, because we will not look the same. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah. Thanks, Janine.
Thank you.
That was Janine Scott, the Broadway League's new Director of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion. If you like what you're hearing on this and other episodes of Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us grow our audience of folks who love theater as much as you and I do. Or tell a friend about Stagecraft. Find past episodes or subscribe on all the pod places, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, which is a great place to find more theater for your ears. I'll be back in 2 weeks with another new episode. Until then, find me on Twitter at @GCoxVariety. Thanks for listening, and see you soon.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheatre.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.